That was great.
You know, we had a lot of fun up at camp. I think my daughter photoshopped me out of most of the pictures. It's okay. But I will tell you a story. Did you see the picture with them lying down? Oh, it's gotta come out sooner or later. So they were lying down and they were looking at shooting stars, right? Mm-hmm. They're lying down on the ground, her and her friend Olivia. And so I was, you know, we're just sitting out talking, what have you, and I was like checking my pockets, and I go, what's in my pocket? And it was a little box of matches. Oh, because I started the fire, the campfire. So I don't know, I was just sitting there and I had it, because I like matches and fire and things like that. And I struck one and I threw it, just a little wooden match. And it kind of flew and it went out. And those two, they jumped up off the ground. Like, I've never seen them move so fast, never. From laying flat to jumping up. You know, usually people have to like kind of crawl up. They just jumped up less than a second. Did you see that? Did you see the shooting star? Did you see it? I'm like, what? Hey, did you see it? The shooting star. I go, that was a match. I just was on matches. And they're like, what? Yeah, it was just a match. Oh. They thought it was a shooting star. But I thought, no, I saw a shooting star. It was when you guys jumped up. You were a shooting star. So don't tell me you don't have energy and you can't do this or that. Okay? But it was a great time. And, you know, really, the theme was being a living epistle for Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Living for Him.
Yes.
Not just living, but existing. Not just existing, but living for Him, and that your life is like a book for others to read.
Amen.
Right? So if you're living for Christ, you are a witness. Amen? Amen. And so that's what we talked about. And John 15, we're going to look at this a little bit more. Talking about bearing fruit, that the Lord wants you to bear much fruit. And I'm going to call this the Magnificent Seven. You know, it's hard. I think when I look back, I think about this. I think like, you know, if someone tells you you need faith, you have to have faith, you need faith, but they never tell you how to get faith, that's not going to help, right? Because you need to leave wondering, how do I get faith? And if we talk about being fruitful, that the Lord wants us to be fruitful, but we don't know how to be fruitful, that's not really going to help either. Amen? So I want us to look at this. And I know we've been covering it for a little bit, but I think it's good. You
Amen.
Know, I had to mow the lawn today, yesterday, actually. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take me too long because I mow it frequently. But have you ever let your lawn go a long time, especially the backyard?
Yeah.
No one sees it, but you know it's there. Right? You got to get the mask, the machete, or the weed whacker. The stuff's flying everywhere. The weeds, you know, when they get over the fence, then you think, oh, that's too high, right? I remember when I did that one time, I was like, man, I let this grow way too long. And really, what am I doing? When I'm cutting the grass, I'm pruning it. I'm cutting it back. I'm clipping off things that are not required, that might be dead or non-productive. Why? So the rest of the lawn can look nice. Amen? And God in our lives, He's always wanting to what? Prune us. So that we can produce more fruit. And Miss Jane was teaching, she talked about fruits and vegetables. I thought, you know, I never thought about it, but when you go to the grocery store, you go to the produce section. That's fruits and vegetables. And really, produce is another term for something that is growing and productive.
Right.
Right? You know, everyone went to the grocery store, and can I see your reduction center? Something that's shrinking and dying? Do you have something here like that? Something that's dead for sale, please? No. Even if you go to the garden section, they're what? Watering things, they're cutting it, making it look nice so it can grow better. And you buy trees with fruit on it because you think, what, at least I know it can bear fruit?
Yeah.
And sometimes when you get it home, it doesn't bear any more fruit. You're like, what happened? And yet our whole lives, God's invested so much into us, and He wants us to what? Bear fruit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And He has a way of pruning and trimming and mowing us.
Yes.
And I think about, you ever look at someone or yourself, maybe, I never really could grow a beard, my wife wouldn't let me. But sometimes you might look and go, hey, that needs to be trimmed. Or your hair, but not mine, but someone else's. Yeah. That needs to be trimmed. Or I need a haircut. Or I want to do this. But what if you never cut your toenails?
Ew.
Ew. Have you ever see somebody who keeps one finger real long for picking things? I keep a long pinky finger, and that way if they pick parts of their body, they have some instrument they can use for that, right?
No.
So, this is, I'm just being real here. There was a guy I saw one time, he had hair growing out of his ear, but he never cut it, because he thought it was cool. But it wasn't just a little bit, it was like you could weave it. It looked like his ear had a mustache, you know? It's like, and so you think what? What am I thinking? I'm thinking, hey, you need to get that cut. You should prune that. Right? This is how you think, right? Well, we do it all the time.
Yeah.
And yet, if we would talk about being pruned or cutting back, something in our flesh says, no, I don't want that. People can go to a prosperity seminar, a faith seminar, a worship conference. If you had a pruning conference, let's go to the pruning conference, people. Nobody wants to go to that. It won't be that popular, right? Yet, it's the very thing that the Lord requires, because he wants us to be what? More productive.
Yes, yes.
To produce.
Yes.
Why? Not just because it brings him glory, but for you, eternally, it's in it. You put yourself in a much better position. Amen?
Right. Amen.
So here, chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, or cuts it, trims it, prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now this is interesting, because he's saying, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Now no one wants to be in that group, right? Anybody want to be in the takeaway group? No. Mm. So what do we need to do? We need to say, okay, then cut me, prune me.
Yes,
just
yes.
Trim me.
Amen.
Right? Why? Because I want to bear more fruit.
Right.
Now he says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, right? Live in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of the vine, except it abide in the vine, it cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them up to be burned in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it will be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Right? So here the Lord's telling us, this is what happens. If we abide in him and we live in him, we stay connected to him, we will get pruned.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. But we will bear fruit. If we don't abide in him and we do our own thing, we walk away from him, we wither, we dry up, and we get scorched. Right? Now these are his words. But why is he telling us this? Is because he loves us. He cares about us. And in life, everything you do, you're always pruning something. You really are. You know, whether it's the grass, you cut the grass. You know, if you look at your neighbor's grass, if you like taking care of your lawn, you look at your neighbor's grass, you think, why don't they cut their grass? What's wrong with them? It doesn't take that long. And they let it get bigger and thicker. And pretty soon, you know, you might need not just a little pruning shears, but you need what? A chainsaw. Because it's been growing so long, it needs a bigger instrument. And in our life, if we allow the Lord to prune us on a regular basis, it won't be like, hey, where's the chainsaw? Let's get out the chainsaw. It'll just be, where's the little clipper? right? But the longer you let something grow, and think about this, you're letting dead things grow on you. Mm. I am, not just you, but I could let dead things grow on me. Why do you want a bunch of dead things to grow on you? Non-productive things, right? So here's the other thought I had along this line. I had this thought, what's wrong with me that I would be opposed to wanting the Lord to prune me? Hmm. Do you ever think like that? Like, why do I have a problem with Him pruning or correcting me or getting dead things out of my life that aren't going to help me? Why would I resist that? I mean, don't look so serious at me. What's this thing? Maybe because there's something in me that's wrong that I want to cling to, but I gotta get that out of me or off of me in order for me to be fruitful and productive like He wants me to be. Amen? Mm-hmm. But why would I resist that? If I know He loves me and He cares about me and He wants the best for me, why would I resist Him pruning me or correcting me or trimming me? Amen? Mm-hmm. Something to think about. Here in verse 3, He said this, "You are clean through the word which I have spoken to you." Mm-hmm. You know, when the Lord gives you a word, this is really neat.
Yeah.
That word, when He tells you something, it's also the power or the ability to do what He tells you to do. Mm-hmm. You notice He told Peter, "Peter, come out. Come." Peter said, "Hey, can I walk on the water?" He said, "Come." But that word "come" to Peter was enough not only to allow him to do it, but He gave him the power or the ability to walk on the water. When the Lord wants to correct something in you or me, when He's dealing with you, has the Lord ever dealt with you about something? About letting something go? About not doing something? Or about doing something? When He's dealing with you about that, He's also given you the ability to do it. He wouldn't tell you to do something that you couldn't do. Right? If He said, "Hey, it's not good that you do this," then He's telling you, not only should you stop it, but He's giving you the power to lay it down, to not do it, or to pick it up. Amen? Amen. Why is He doing this? Again, He's doing this because He what? He loves us. And if, look at verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love," again, live in His love, "even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You know, when Pastor Suke was talking about you don't want to look to man, you only want to look to the Lord for your needs, there's a couple reasons that I know of. Number one is people could change their minds about you. Like, "Hey, I want to bless you. I want to do this for you." And you're like, "Oh, praise God, that's great." And then next week, what might happen? They might change their mind. "Oh, you're not going to help?" "No, I changed my mind." Okay. Well, God doesn't change His mind.
No.
Secondly, maybe they want to do something for you, but their resources are limited. Right? But the Lord, His resources are what? Unlimited. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, you know, if you live long enough on the earth, you realize that people will die. So even though somebody wants to do something and they have the resources, what happens when they die? But the Lord, He lives what? Forever. Mm-hmm. And He's unlimited resources. He won't change His mind about you. He cares for you. That's why He has many avenues, but He is the source. So our eyes should always be on Him. Amen?
Amen.
So when I'm going through this, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, "Lord, what are some things, say, in my life that You want to correct?" Or, and usually these will be really subtle things. Like, call this person and apologize. Right? Or, do this for me, or do this for this person, or, you know, whatever small things, walk in love, forgive, These are things he's commanded us, and these are abiding in him, we get what? Strength, and we get light. And while we were at the youth retreat, something dawned on me. You know, Jesus doesn't want you just to be a follower of him. Because if you're a follower, you may not be abiding in him. Now remember what he, and the reason what I'm saying by that is this, there's a lot of people who followed him, but they weren't very close to him. Mm. You know, he told his disciples, follow me, and I will make you disciples of men, right? And you shall be my disciples. He didn't say, follow me and you are my disciples. He said, I will make you my disciples. It means there's going to be some work involved. And do you ever notice I have this fruit tree next to my house? And you know, I haven't cut that thing 2 times already. Well, I didn't cut it the second time. Someone else did. They couldn't stand it. I got to cut this for you. This is growing everywhere. But, and they couldn't use a little pincher blade because the branches were too thick. And they had thorns on them, right? Thorny branches. And the thorny branches weren't bearing any fruit. So they had to clip them, cut them, prune it. Why? So that the branches that were bearing fruit would be what? More fruitful, mm-hmm. More productive. And then after that was like 1 year, and the next year we had to do it all over again. It's like, what's with this tree? It's just growing everywhere. So we have to keep pruning something. And you think about in your life, just because something was pruned one time, does that mean you're done?
No.
No. That means what? You got work to do.
Yes.
You know, you got to keep up with it. If you like exercising, what does that mean? You can't say, I already worked out. All done. I pruned that belly fat. I did. It's all pruned. If you do nothing, what happens? It'll come creeping back on you. Whatever. So are you talking about? No, I'm just using it. Relax, right? The point is you got to keep up with it. And in our spiritual lives, sometimes there's things that creep back on us that we have to be purged from again, right? That the Lord wants to prune a second time and a third time. Why? He wants us to be more fruitful, more productive. So look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter is right after 1 Peter. We got Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And we'll look at chapter 1. And let's start with verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, according to his divine power has he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called you to glory and virtue. Right? Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here he's telling you, this is one way, we're going to talk about this, how you can be fruitful and not be barren. Barren meaning empty. Mm. So he wants you to be what? Fruitful. Yes. He says, if these things be in you,
that's good.
And abound, or what's another word for abound? Grow.
Grow.
Right? You won't be unfruitful or barren. So you say, okay, so this is some of the things how I can become more fruitful in him. And there's 7 things here. That's why we call it the Magnificent Seven. Okay? So First, the one we're going to talk about today is virtue. This is, look at verse 5. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Mm-hmm. Now, faith is great, and we believe in faith. Without it, you can't please God. But there's something that faith needs to be the most productive. It needs a lot of different things, right? Comes by hearing. Amen? And faith, it says, add to your faith virtue. Now, when you look up this word virtue, it means excellence. Mm. Excellence. Add to your faith excellence. Mm. Or something that is of superior quality. Mm. A higher form. Right? And this is interesting because it takes faith to believe for God's best.
Mm, that's good.
Have you ever, I know you have, I'll just say for me. There's been a time when, you know, I'm believing God for something. Mm-hmm. Amen? And think, Lord, I'm going to believe you for this or for that, whatever it is. I'm believing you. And I've been looking for a little while, and I haven't found it. And then something comes along, and I think, oh, that's good enough. I'll just take that one, because I haven't really found what I wanted, but I'll just take this. It will do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just settle for this. It'll do.
Yeah.
Right here. It's good enough. It'll make do.
Uh-uh.
You know, that is not pleasing to the Lord. Because did he just make do with sending you some angel to die for you? He gave you his very best, his most excellent son. The Bible says that Jesus has attained a name, a most excellent name, right? He had an excellent ministry, the spirit of excellence or virtue. And when you got to get this by faith. I remember one time my wife and I, we were looking for a house because we wanted one before we had any kids. And there was one we looked at, I don't know if you remember this, but you remember that condo that you really liked?
Yeah.
She really wanted it. We told this guy, okay, yeah, we'll come look at it. We're really, really interested in my wife. And when she starts on something, she just goes all in. I'm like, got both feet on the brake, pulling the parking brake, and it ain't working. Honey, slow down. Slow down. Please slow down here. She's going all in. So we said, yeah, okay, we'll work this deal. And she was so happy, I didn't want to tell her no. I don't want to tell her no. She's just so happy. But that night I couldn't sleep. Because my heart was bothering me. And I'm not saying there was anything wrong with this place, because there really wasn't. Nothing wrong with it. But it wasn't what I would consider excellent or superior in quality. It was definitely, it will make do. And it was an almost. It was a just about. But it wasn't the thing that was really in my heart. So that morning, we had to have a talk. I said, honey, you know, I've been up thinking about this. I know you like it, but oh, it's great. It's going to be able to do this. I'm like, oh, this is more painful. I said, but I don't really think that's the place. You got quiet.
That's good.
She kind of, you know, was thinking. She was, you don't think that's the place? I'm like, no. That's worked the other way around, too, sometimes. And it was kind of painful. But in my heart, I knew this was not the right place for us. But there's a lot of pressure just to get something. Mm-hmm. Because I got to get something. Because I've been looking for a while now. Mm-hmm. Right? And yet, in my heart, see, we're adding to our faith something that's supposed to be superior. Or excellent. Not something that will just make do. And if we just settle for that make do thing, then we won't get God's best. Mm. You understand? Because we're not adding. We didn't have to get that by faith. Mm. We just got that because it was what was there. And you know, kind of like it. It looks good. So I had to call the guy up. You don't want to call people up and say, hey, I've changed their minds. Even though people do it all the time. But I say, hey, I'm sorry, we're not gonna go with that, your house. It's a nice house, I'm sure you sell it to someone else. I know there's six guys waiting to buy it. That's great, one of them will take it, I understand. But after I did that, man, I had so much peace in my heart, not in my head, but in my heart. And we did have a little strain on our relationship for a little bit, but then we talk it out. I said, let's look at our heart,
yeah.
Right? And when she says, oh, it's okay, I'm good. I'm okay, I'm glad you're good, because I'm good. We could have made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Not that it was just a mistake, but it wasn't the best that God would have had for us.
That's right.
So, and this even goes to where, in, like, sometimes I might buy something just because it's on sale. What a deal. But is this excellent or superior? Or is it just on sale?
Yeah.
All those things that you bought that were on sale that you haven't used yet?
Yes.
Right? Got a lot of those. You know, I like, you know, say I like buying organic food, whatever. Oh, that's on sale. Well, it's still sitting there. I'm thinking, it's been 2 years now, and I haven't got around to it. Was I led? Yeah, it's really organic now. Was I being led? No. Now, if I'm really thinking about it, what motivated me could have been the price.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the price isn't something we take into consideration, but we should really take in consideration our heart.
Amen.
Is this something, when Peter says, add to your faith virtue or excellence or something of superior quality, when you're looking for something or you're shopping or you're doing whatever, is this what you, and you know, and I know, if it's really in our heart and it's something we should do or not do. Sometimes we try to make believe, like we got this light and this bell goes off when really it's still dark and silent in our spirit. You know, sitting here thinking, this is it. Praise God. We try to create it. Like, oh yeah. I'm feeling it. No, it's still dark and there's no noise. And it's not the Lord. And you're under pressure from what other people are telling you to do. You might have looked at 100 different homes or 200 church properties. Or whatever. And you're like, that's nice, but that's not it. That's not it. That's not it.
Yeah.
And you're like, when are you going to find it? I don't know in my mind, but in my heart, I know God has something that's it. And
that's
this
right.
is not it.
That's right.
This isn't it.
Yeah.
I'm looking for that excellent, superior God thing. I'm not looking just for the normal everything that somebody else has. And when you can use your faith to believe God, this is how you're going to really bear fruit.
Yeah.
Because he's going to say, look, they're believing me for something, and he's going to help you find it. You know, the Bible says, your heart knows it exists in God.
Right.
Even though the world doesn't know. Mm. The world can't believe. They can't receive. But when you stand and you believe, you say, Lord, I'm going to believe you for the highest and your best. I'm going to wait it out. Till I find it. Someone, you die before you find it. No, I won't.
That's right.
I'll get it.
No.
We can apply this to so many areas of our life. For example, you read your Bible chapter in the morning. You don't have to speed read it. You know, when you read it, you think, that was pretty good. But in your heart, you think, oh, I can read it again. Because I should read it one more time. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't quite feel what? Satisfied.
Mm.
It's almost, but not close.
Mm.
Right? You ever go to a restaurant and you eat food and you think that wasn't worth the money? Someone got ripped off and it wasn't them. It wasn't the owner. Where's the meat? Where's whatever? So it's always about that. Or if I give an offering and I'm thinking, Lord, I give my normal offering, but it seems like I could do a little bit more. It doesn't matter if it's just a dollar more or whatever. You just check your heart. Or if I'm praying, should I pray 5 more minutes? Just pray until I feel like that was a good time. That was good.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When I'm doing something, like when the kids, the girls, the whatever, when they're doing something, when we're doing something, was that your best?
Mm.
Was that superior quality?
Mm.
Or did you just settle and say it's good enough? Mm. Like I would tell daughter number three, hey, write out your sentences. Okay, that's good enough. Oh, no, it's not. It's not good enough. Let me explain why. Because you didn't do your very best.
Yeah.
And if you didn't do your best in this, it's going to carry over to bigger things, like you don't need to do your best for God.
Mm.
So your best doesn't have to be what somebody else is doing. It just has to be your best.
That's
like
right.
In your heart.
Yeah.
And I got this from my mom, who, you know, Saturday mornings was not cartoon day for me. It was clean the room, clean the house. And she would literally come through with the white glove. I was so upset with these white gloves. And she'd say, I want this place clean. And I'd have to pull out the refrigerator. This was every week. Right? The stove, like, Mom, there's nothing back there. I cleaned it last time. You inspected it. Do you remember? She goes, I want it clean. So I have to clean the whole house, and then she'd say this. Now, don't you feel better now that you know your room is clean? I never tell her yes. I just feel better. I could eat anywhere in my room, off the floor, ceiling, whatever. It was clean. But it taught me, in a sense, to know I want to do my very best. Not her best was better than my best, but that, when I was a teenager, that was still my best. And that's what God wants. He wants us to believe him for his best in our life. That's why he said, add to your faith virtue or excellence or something that's of superior quality. Mm-hmm. Because this will, you need your faith to get there, to do that. Amen? This is how you, one way, and as you believe him for the best, then what happens? You become more fruitful. You become more productive. I had a friend who, you got to be specific. Because if you're not specific, then I'm not, you know, especially when you're looking at things that you believe in the Lord for, anything could come along and you not know. And I had a friend, he was believing God for a truck. So I'm believing God for a new truck. Well, then somebody gave me a truck. I said, hey, you want a truck? I got a nice truck. I like the truck. It was a little bit older truck from the 70s. And it had some dents and stuff, but the engine was brand new. Mm. But nobody wanted the truck parked in front of their house. He goes, well, I'm believing God for a truck. It wasn't of superior quality, but I didn't know what I was actually believing for because I never really wrote it down. It was kind of like, you know, Lord, what could I really frame and believe you for? I just believe for anything, so anything comes along and you think it's God, but it may not be God. Amen? So, long story short, when we believe in the Lord for something that's excellent and of superior quality, what we're giving in our offering. Look at Hebrews 11:4 says this. Hebrews 11:4, it says that Abel offered what? By faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice or offering to God. By faith. What did he do? Well, we can look at it. It says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, though which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, it still speaks, right? So even what he gave to God was excellent. You know, he gave, what, an animal, his lamb? But it was the best lamb. There was a lot of good lambs, but in his heart there was one that was great, that was excellent. And that's what he offered to God. And it said that he obtained, by faith he did that. So, Lord, I want to offer you my very, very best. What in my heart? This goes back to how we do things, what we're looking for, daily behavior, whatever. Is this my best? Am I pleased with it? Are you pleased with this, Lord? Is this excellence to you? And if we start to live by that, just in the small ways, and when he says, oh, you could do a little bit more, or you could do a little bit better, what's he doing? He's pruning us.
Yeah. Right.
He's purging us of our old way of thinking, of not having enough, or not being good enough, or not doing enough, right? He's purging that out of us to get us to a spirit of what? Excellence. Not just doing something, but doing it the way that it's pleasing to him. And you might think, well, that's going to cost me time, whatever. Yeah, but this is how you'll be more fruitful and productive. Having a bunch of dead stuff on you is going to cost you more, right? He doesn't want that on us. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be light. He wants us to be able to run for him. Amen? So we'll talk about this. And, you know, I pray that the Lord just reveal whatever you need to learn, whatever he's been dealing with about you, to you and to me. We've all missed it. We've all made mistakes. But God can, he can help us and quicken us so that we can be more productive. Because in the end, you look at this, it said that you will never fail, right? It said, for if you do these things and they be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It said, you won't be fruitful or unbarren. Mm. This is good news.
Yes, amen. Amen?
This is good news. So whatever we do it as unto the Lord. And we check our heart and say, Lord, is this good?
Yes.
Are you pleased with this?
Yes.
He might say, just do a little bit more over here. Or do a little bit more over there. What's he doing? He's pruning us so we can be more fruitful and
productive. That's good.
Amen?
Amen.
So he wants us to bear much fruit. He wants us to increase. And one way we will do that as we do our very best to have that excellent spirit, whether it's just praying two more minutes, you know, reading one more chapter, or whatever the case might be, check your heart and say, is this enough, Lord? Have I done enough? Or do you want me to do more? Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And we do pray, Lord, that as we go about our day, as we go through the day, that we check our heart. Lord, we won't make believe that you've given us a witness or a light. When we see something on the outside that may look good, but something on the inside in our heart, in our spirits, telling us that's not quite right, or it's not certain, we don't have your peace about it, Lord. We won't have to pursue it because our faith is in you, that you will still provide something that's excellent and of superior quality for us, Lord, that we will pursue you with excellence and with virtue. We'll add that to our faith so that we'll be neither unbarren or unfruitful. We won't be barren or unfruitful, but Lord, that we'll bring you much glory. And we just thank you for that. Thank you for showing us in our lives things that need to be pruned and things that need to be cut back and trimmed, Lord, so that we can be all that you called us to be, so that we can do all that you've called us to do. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I think it's really important that we look to him on a daily basis, because where he wants you, you know why he prunes us? Because he knows what you're capable of.
Yes.
He knows what you can really do and what he's really called you to. That's why he's always going to require you to do more than what you are. He's like, you can do more. You got to do more. You're like, I don't want to do more. Why are you picking on me? He knows what you're capable of. He knows what you can do. So he's going to require of you more, not less. You understand?
Amen.
But you'll be thankful. I'll be thankful that he's requiring more of us. Because as he requires more of us, that means we'll be more fruitful, more productive. You know, we won't be that, oh, just give me the day-old bread. That's good enough for me. That's all I think you want. You know, someone's got to eat it. It's not too good for me. I mean, someone's got to do it. That's not the attitude he wants you to have. You can eat it, but not because you have to.
Yeah.
Maybe he says, I want you to go eat that real expensive steak. Mm-hmm. Right? You ever look? Why do you always look? You know, I do this sometimes. Look at the prices of everything first. Like when you go to the restaurant, you look at the menu, okay, here's the prices, okay, no, where's the value section? I got kids, you know. You know, but he wants to expand our thinking. What if he said, I want you to run ministries in four continents? Like, oh, God, I'm just trying to rent my house. He's like, I know. But I want you to expand. I want you to become more fruitful. I put a lot on you. I invested a lot in you. I want you to produce.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Amen?
That's good.
All right, let's take up, get ready to take up our offering. If you need an envelope, raise your hand. And if you're making a check, you can make it to FCC, Faith Christian Center. But thank God he cares enough about us to trim us. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God he cares enough about us that he wants us, he cares so much he gets rid of the dead weight. Amen? Right. The things that aren't growing and productive in our life.
Right.
Have you ever had, anybody ever have a wart? A wart. Do you know what a wart is? Like the viral infection? Nobody wants a wart. It's a growth that's unproductive. It can be painful, right? I had one before, and they bleed, and they hurt. I'm not trying to nourish it. I was trying to what? Get rid of it.
That's right.
You put things on it, and you know what I find works really well for warts, besides Compound W, which really doesn't, to me, work well, because it just kills the top, and it peels it off, and it keeps growing. I got it rid of with a banana peel. Take a banana, okay, I'll tell you after. But take a popcorn. But hey, this is what happened. I used banana peel, cut a piece, put a bandage on it, and then whenever it got kind of funky, like maybe once a day, I just change it, and it eats away, dissolves the wart. Do you like your skin, like baby fresh? I mean, it's like where banana peel's on my face. So. But it's not simple, banana peel. Serious? No joke. So, and it's free. I mean, basically a banana peel, that's all you need. But I don't grow warts and think they're great. It's like, why do you want things like dead and non-productive growing on you spiritually? If you don't accept it physically, why want it spiritually? And the Lord is wanting to turn that off of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Lord, we just thank you for this offering we give with a heart of joy. We thank you, though, that whatever we sow, we will also reap. And that you want us to be fruitful and productive and that in our finances as well, Lord, as we sow. We know that you're going to use these monies to bear eternal fruit that will remain. And we're excited about that, Lord, and we're thankful for that. And we feel good in our hearts about having the privilege and opportunity to give what we give. And we just rejoice and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Be blessed.